My name is Michael Chang. I'm one of the pastors in Freedom River Outreach. We are joint service, so supposedly. And you are the most perfect looking group of people I've ever seen for a long time. It's almost a happy new year. So I would like to say, well, happy new year to you. I wanted to prepare a message called Leaving the Past Behind. I think it's appropriate as it's the end of 2020. Can you believe it? I mean, I remember when we, beginning of this year, we says 2020, what awesome it's going to be. And now it's the end. It's the last day. And so time sure flies. And as I was thinking about things to share for 15 minutes, and there's a lot of things that come into my mind, but one of the things that I would like to speak to is to the people who thought maybe you made a mistake, maybe you have some regrets, maybe you had hopes and dreams on the beginning of this year, and then as we come to the conclusion of 2020, I'm sure there are a lot of things that come into your mind. Maybe I could have done this better, or maybe some of you, maybe you feel like you have failed the Lord in somewhat. And I don't know, looking at you, you look perfect. I don't think you guys made a mistake in your life, but maybe I'm just speaking to myself. However, these are just, and looking at John 21, and these are the verses, and it looked a lot bigger on my computer screen. But as I see it, it might be a little smaller. If you don't see it, I'll just read it for you. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciple at the Sea of Tiberias, and in his way showed himself Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin. And let me just briefly talk about what this is. You probably, a lot of you probably know what these are. And it's Simon Peter and the disciples went back to the way they used to live, which is what? Fishing, right? Fishing. They went back after they witnessed resurrections. After all that, they went back fishing. And Jesus is meeting with them and said, they said to him, Peter said, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and they went into the boat. Verse 4 says that when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And he said, children, have you any food? They answered to him, no. And he said, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Looks like they've been here before. Same conversation 3.5 years before. They went back exactly the same place. So this is what I'm going to talk about, leaving the past behind. Let's just pray for a moment, can we? Heavenly Father, we look into you. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Holy Spirit, come. Speak to each and every one of us. Lord, without you, we are nothing. As we're completing 2020, we want to give you all the thanks and all the gratitude. But also, we want to hear from you, Lord. Speak to us. Change and mend hearts, as we just sang. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, and that's what that is, verse 7, and John screams out, and it is the Lord. And when Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. That sounds like Peter, right? He just jumped in, and Lord, oh my gosh, OMG, and he just jumped in, and he wanted to meet, and everything he does is very impulsive, and very straightforward, and they find Jesus on the shore, already have some fish. And verse 11, Simon Peter went up and dragged the net, and full of large fish, and 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Verse 12, Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dare ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that he was the Lord. It's a kind of strange thing, you know. It says none of the disciples dare ask him, "Who are you?" In other words, Lord Jesus looked different, right? Looked different enough, not recognizable in the human eye, but they knew who that was. I wonder what kind of appearance the Lord Jesus had, but they knew. They knew it was Jesus. How did they know? How did they know? I often ask myself that, but I think the answer is they just knew. They just knew. Like in heaven, when we get to heaven, we'll just know, right? In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, when the perfect comes, we will know as we are known to him. So I think that's kind of knowledge. They knew it was Lord Jesus, but he looked different. His glorified body, he looked different. So this is the third time Jesus showed himself to disciples. And the reason that I show this portion of scripture in John 21 is it's very reminding us of what needs to be left behind when we go through difficult times. In 2020, we had, although we had high hopes and dreams, and we went through, all of us went through very difficult year. I have never seen a year like this in my entire life being in the United States. I have never seen one cold disease can last so long and alter so many people's lives like crazy. So I think, you know, if you think of PTSD, you know what that is, right? PTSD, probably a couple decades ago, and before that, I never even knew what that was. But now, nowadays, everybody knows PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, right? And wounded emotions. So a lot of people went through various difficult times. And if you think of these disciples, right, I put another 9 on there. It's supposed to be 1999. In 1999, I think of the Columbine High School. For 49 minutes it lasted, and they killed two students, to kill 12 students and one teacher. I'm sure all of us remember that because it was very traumatic news to hear. And these people, I heard the news in 2014, they got together. It's called the Lost Class of Columbine. The reason they got together was the 2012 Aurora, Colorado, in the theater, about 70 people got shot. And to the people who went through Columbine High School shooting, that Aurora theater shooting just hit home. And a lot of them got together, see if they can comfort these people. Because all of them went through, after the shooting, they had to go through various different kind of lives. You know, you think, all right, we are survivor, now we can get on with our lives. No, a lot of people they look for drug, they look for food, could not hold a job because they could not hold the degrees even, because in the school they had to explain to a teacher why she cannot participate in regular fire drill, because to her, everybody else looked like just a normal fire drill, but to her it reminded of Columbine High School, and she just couldn't. Everything froze up, and she just couldn't deal with it. So a lot of people went through same very emotional stress for that. But I'm thinking, comparing that to the disciples. You know, the disciple followed the Lord for 3.5 years. And they saw miracles. They saw the Lord bringing dead to a resurrection. They healing 38-year-old lame to just write in the command, he got up. And they, after seeing all that, they had to go through cross. You know, if you think about the mindset and emotional hurt that this disciple went through, I don't know. I think it's pretty similar to PTSD. You know, 3.5 years. They thought this is the king. This is a Messiah. They knew it. They believed it. And then cross happened. They killed him. He was nailed on the cross. A lot of things they don't understand. What about us? Things that, you know, that we don't understand. What happens? How do we deal with it? Peter and others went back fishing, returned to the familiar place, but there was no vision. Nothing there. They just knew that's the way they dealt with it all the time. Don't we do the same thing? People do drugs not because it means something, but it is something that they know how to deal with the pain that they have. When we have a headache, what do? We look for and search for aspirin, right? It's like that. People look for remedies. People look for the things, the way we deal with difficult situations and the hardship that we need to go through. And Peter and others, they went fishing, not because fishing was bad or fallen, but that's the thing that Peter knew how to do. Then comes Jesus. Now, this is a thing. Now, after all these times, ministries, and when a lot of churches, and we do ministry day in and day out, some of the things that we go through is difficult. And this year alone, it's difficult. In our ministry, some people got COVID, some people got sickness. And then what do? We got selection. We have to new plan and new. We have to go through, and people don't show up. And how do we deal with it? They say they're not going to come back. What do? Right? It's a stress. It's a things that we need to face each day. And at the same time, our businesses have challenges, and we face our friends that running the restaurant, they're facing the closure for the second time. He thought he got out of the woods, and then second closure happened, and then now he's saying to, he told me this. This is a friend of mine who runs a restaurant in Federal Way. He says, and I ask him, how are you doing? And he goes, I don't know, first time in my life I went to second floor and looked down, and I said, should I just jump? And when I heard that, my heart just sank. Hey, this is not the end. It's just the corona. This just little closure. This thing will pass. But we need to realize a lot of people go through hardship than we can ever imagine. And I think we need to be a little bit more understanding. And I think we need to kind of get into their mind. Understanding is what? Being under there, right? Understanding. But everything, all this thing happens, then comes Jesus. Now, I really love this. Now, I'm gonna finish this real fast. Then comes Jesus. When Jesus comes, and notice he doesn't ask, hey, Peter, you followed me for 3.5 years, and you called yourself a head disciple? Notice he never said that. Hey, don't you know how many times I raised the dead and, you know, healed the sick? No, he didn't ask any of that. None of that. But whenever we are in the presence of Jesus, there's an answer. Right? When there's a difficult times, when there are, you know, calamities and hardships, You think you made a mistake this year? 2020 was a hard one. I don't know what we're going to do if next year comes. Should I rely on that check the government said they're sending, whole $600? You know, does that give you hope? You know, whatever it is, it's not it. Those are not the answer. Answer can only be found in the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord. As we ending this year, 2020, He wants to revive us, the vital relationship. He wants to have living, vital, you know, close relationship with each and every one of us. A lot of times when the hardship's going on, there is a purpose for it. Because it takes away all the balloons in life and just remaining the vital things in life. If you have a financial burden, you're not going to go out there and spend like crazy. And you will think twice about going to the restaurants. Right? What do we do when your relationship with the Lord doesn't look like it's good as used to be? Then we just look into just cut out all the unnecessary things and just focus on the relationship, right? It is important. Worshippers, and just like John shout out, it is the Lord. When you recognize Jesus Christ, then you shout out. Then Peter comes and, right? True worshiper recognize Jesus. Right? And Psalm 30, verse 5, is weeping may endure for a night, but what does it say? But joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Always, there is a weeping and there's a joy in the morning. And you go through a hard time. You going through difficult times right now. If you think you are at the place of pain and suffering, don't worry. There's always in the morning. This joy comes in the morning. You will understand that when it comes to being in the morning time. In the morning time. Where we are able to just leave the past in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is important for us to understand that Peter jumped in the water and finally understanding who it is in front of him. You know, let me just go through this real fast. Wait a minute. John 21:15, it says, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. That's the only thing he said. And you know, these words of Jesus really touched me so many different ways. We are looking for the way because of what I've done. Always, Lord, I have not accomplished this for you. I have not lived this way for you. I made a mistake this year. I have failed you. But Lord is saying, do you love me? We are having different conversations. Only thing God is looking for, Jesus is looking for from each and every one of us is, do you love me? Do you love me? Not you made a mistake, not what kind of life you lead. Do you love me? And I can only honestly say, yes, Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you. That much I do. And that's enough for him. That's the way we live behind. That's the way we live throughout 2020. Don't worry about the mistakes you left behind. Lord is asking you, do you love me more than this? And we say, yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, I love you. And he says, feed my lambs. Thank you. God bless you.
I was just looking at some of the prayer. I got a wonderful email from our friend Trevor, who's in Bratislava, and he's just so thankful. He doesn't receive any support. All he asks for is our prayers, and he is just absolutely humbled by the fact that this church takes time to pray for him. So as you go through, it means a lot to him, I can tell you, just to have this church praying for him. And so I wanted to just take a few minutes. I'm going to read a few verses. I'm going to go through. There's four different circumstances that God shows himself incredibly faithful in this text tonight. And I think it refers to, sometimes we look at the upcoming year, we're looking for some kind of an answer to what's going to happen or how God's going to move, or you want some insight as to what God's going to do. I don't think I ever heard anybody say last year that we were looking forward to this, what happened this year. It was totally unexpected, as many times God is when he moves in the way that he moves. But one thing that I can honestly say about 2020, if there's a lesson, and Sue called me today and she was just sharing that something she had read, I think it was from Billy Graham, that when you look back at a year, you can look at your all the things that you've, perhaps bad things that have happened, good things that have happened, but the question is, what did you learn in terms of your relationship to Christ? How did it affect you? And if there's one thing that I think that we've all learned this year in 2020, it's the issue of balance. The Word of God says that a false balance is an abomination to God. And I understand that's talking about scales and measuring, you know, things in terms of sales and things such as that, but it certainly applies to our life also in Proverbs 11:1. And that is that in this situation, for example, as we were sharing today, Tyler, a person can be incredibly trusting in God, and we want to trust him for all the things that are happening in our life, so much so that we're willing to boldly go out and serve our Lord and express our faith. And you know, perhaps looking at the world around us, we see a little bit of the hypocrisy that goes on between some of the things that are allowed and some of the things that aren't, and we're just going to serve God and we're not going to worry about any of that. Well, on the other side of that, we have respect for people, something that the love of God certainly burdens our heart with, and that is the desire to be respectful and to treat them in a way that shows that we see them in the as they are in the image of God, created as unique people in God's image. We want to respect them as people. And if nothing else, I can tell you, having gone through this year, seeing people get incredibly ill, love people that love the Lord, people that serve Jesus Christ, people that go forward in faith get incredibly ill, and others, nothing happens to them. It has taught me to balance my faith with my attitude towards people and to live respectfully of others and serve God as faithfully as I possibly can and boldly as I possibly can, but have incredible respect and compassion and care for people too at the same time. That's just my lesson. I'm going to read from Psalm 107 tonight. There's only 4 points. I'm just going to read the first 31 verses, which will probably take up the whole of the 20 minutes, but that's okay. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. That's the beginning of the song. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, or actually their trouble, those things that contend against us. Now he's going to speak to the lost and the wandering. And he gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and they wandered in the wilderness in a desert region, and they did not find a way to an inhabited city. And they were hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainted within them. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul. He's filled with what is good. He's going to speak to prisoners and captives next. And those who dwelt in darkness and the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God and rejected the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he humbled their hearts with labor, and they stumbled, and there was none to help. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he broke bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has shattered the gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. He's going to speak to fools who reject the word. Fools, because of their rebellious ways and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their souls abhorred all kinds of food. They drew near to the gates of death. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And he sent his word, and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions, actually their trapping pits. And let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men and to those who are in the turmoil of the sea. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. Those who go down to the sea in ships and do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea, and they rose up to the heavens, and they went down to the depths, and their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and they were at their wits' end. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. And he caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. And when they were glad, then they were glad because they were quiet. So he guided them to a pleasant or desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. And in verse 43, who is wise? Let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindness of the Lord. So, Father, bless our time. We're incredibly thankful for what we've heard and thankful for the partnership that we have with Freedom River. We do pray for Pastor John tonight, Lord. We hear of his recovery. We're thankful for that. We ask for your continued blessing and speedy healing. We pray for Kathy, Lord. We pray for others on the leadership team. We ask for your care and your blessing. We just pray that you'll keep them. And Lord, we're looking forward to all that you're going to do in 2021, because we can count on what we're going to speak on tonight. And we ask it in Christ's name, amen. So there's a promise here. The word loving kindness is a word that's in the Hebrew. We've talked about it many times. The word is hesed in the Hebrew. No need to know that other than the fact that it's the word that's used over and over again to speak of a covenant that God made to be merciful to the people of Israel. God said he's going to be merciful. And he didn't just say, one time I'm going to be merciful. This word speaks of a covenant that God made to be merciful. And it was that covenant of mercy that was an expression of God's love in Jeremiah 31:3 that actually was the thing that drew Israel back to him. So he's loved them with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness, that hesed, that commitment to mercy, is the thing that draws Israel back to him in that chapter. And so as we look through this, there are four different circumstances. And I understand this is speaking to the people of Israel, but I think there's some very relevant information here that can speak to all of us, because I got a feeling we can all identify with these four types of people. The first one is those people that are lost and wandering. And I just want you to take a moment and think about it. We're just going to kind of go through each one. You can click it for me if you would. And for those people that are lost and wandering, kind of like many of us in our life, wondering what's going to happen next, wondering where we're going to go, wondering why this is happening to us, wondering what the next move is, there's a promise here that really speaks to me. And it is a promise that's, as we'll see in all of these circumstances, it's bound to the mercy of God. And that promise is that God is going to bring you to an inhabited city. Now that's a very interesting thing, because when the Bible describes us in Hebrews 11:13-15, we're described as pilgrims and strangers on this earth, and we're kind of wandering through this life, and we're looking for some place. We've left, as Pastor Michael said, we've left that behind, and we're looking for something in Christ that we haven't found. We haven't, you know, we're not there yet. And we can't be mindful in verse 15 of what we have behind us. We have to put all that behind us in Philippians 3:14 and press on. And we're searching for a city. And we're following Jesus Christ, it goes on to say in Hebrews 13 and verse 14, outside of the norm. It's not to be found in our culture. It's not to be found in many of the relationships that we have right now. It's simply to be found somewhere else. But notice this, and I think it's very important here. God promises to bring you to an inhabited city. Now, I believe that this body, the church, the fellowship that we have, is an expression of what we're going to find on a much larger, obviously, beyond anything we could ever ask or think, scale when we get to heaven. The fellowship that we have of the saints, the fact that we have the privilege of being together, people of different backgrounds, different experiences, that share one thing in common, and that's their love for Jesus Christ. And the cross of Jesus Christ that binds us all together. That God actually gives us a little taste of that city that we're all searching for in our hearts. But you'll notice in this text, they cried out to God, and you're going to see it in all four of these. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And the word here for trouble is the same word that's used in verse 2 for adversary. Because these things do challenge us. They are, in many ways, against us. And you'll notice that the Lord saved them, because that's what he does. He brings us out. He delivers us. And you'll notice why. It's because he's made a commitment to be merciful. The one thing that we can count on in this next year that we found to be so true in the previous year is that God is merciful. He's met us right where we're at. He's made a commitment to be merciful to us. So if it seems like this year has been kind of one of those floundering years for you, be of good cheer, because in all honesty, God in his mercy is going to direct you to a place where you can find a sense. Just a sense. Maybe you can imagine what it was like in Acts chapter 2 and verse 32-47, when all these people started gathering together that had nothing in common other than the fact that they were Jewish in origin. They were of different social strata, and but they were all bound together, and it was all in Jesus Christ. Just the joy of that. And to me, that's what the body of Christ is. That's the beauty of having a little taste of that city. The second group here is the group that I think we've all perhaps experienced in various ways. The prisoners and the captives, then they dwelt in darkness, and they were in bondage. Now, the darkness, obviously, can speak of many things, but we do know this, that darkness oftentimes speaks of the way that the world has kind of, how can I say it? It's taught us to see things. In Ephesians 4:17 or Romans 1:21, it speaks of the darkness of their minds or the way that they understood things. And one of the beauties of our relationship to Christ is the moment that we come to him, it's almost as if the prophecy of Isaiah 9:2 comes true, that we sat in darkness, we've seen a great light, that there's clarity that we've never had before, that something's happened. And we begin to see life in a different way. Is a different slant to life. It's just different for us. And you can see it in this text. These are people that have been in bondage, and you'll notice this, that it says that it's because they rebelled against his word, which, by the way, let's be honest, all of our problems are not problems that someone else has done to us. Almost without exception, we can put our fingerprint on every problem we have. It's been something of my own doing. It's been something that I can honestly say I had some relationship to it. My fingerprint is there. And it has something to do with me not listening to or responding to the Word of God and the Spirit of God as He leads me through life. But you'll notice what happens. These people that sat in darkness and these people that were imprisoned by their own behavior. Isn't it what Jesus said in John 8:31-34, that if you stay in my word, you remain my word, you're going to be my disciple, and you're going to know the truth. The truth is going to set you free. But if you don't do that, then you're going to be, what? Indentured. Indentured to sin. And we've all had those issues in our life that have just been compelling issues that we can't get free from. And then God comes in His word and through the Spirit and through the fellowship and through the commonality that we all have and the love that we share. And He breaks those chains. That's exactly what Jesus Christ said He would do. When the Spirit of the Lord is upon Him, He came for that very sole purpose, to encourage the downtrodden, to set the captives free. This is our Lord, to give us the ability to see, give sight to the blind. And so for all of us, you'll notice in this second batch, they did the same thing. They cried out to the Lord, and what did the Lord do? He saved them. He saved them. Because that's what our God does. And you'll notice for these people also, they're to give thanks to the Lord because He's committed to mercy. He's committed to mercy. It's not just a casual thought for Him. He's committed to mercy. Just as we're supposed to be. He's committed to mercy. This third batch are probably the one that we can all most identify with. Now, a fool or being foolish, it's interesting. But you'll notice that these are people that reject, again, these are people that rejected His word. They were their rebellious way, and because of their own decisions, they were afflicted. It affected them. Our decisions do affect us. It affects not only our life, but it affects our relationship, our ability to be happy, our relationship with other people. Most of our sadness is brought on relationally, is it not? Has something to do with someone else, something to do with our relationship to this other person, maybe the way that we're responding to that person or perhaps the way they're treating us. But either way, think of all the unhappiness that we all experience because of these relationships. And you'll notice that in all of those relationships, the one thing that's not lacking is our own selfish desire. In other words, it's typically the things that we want and will put above everything else, even God, that not only hurt us, but hurt others, right? It's that one thing that continues to perpetuate pain, is that we choose to put ourselves above another person. And rather than following the example of our Lord and laying down our life as He laid down His life in 1 John 3:15-16, we continue to perpetuate our own desires. And those desires not only hurt us, but hurt others. But you'll notice, and by the way, this is the fool. It's the fool that thinks that they can live their life apart from God and reject His desire in their life or His word or His leadership or the Holy Spirit's involvement in their life, and somehow it's going to work out. I was speaking with somebody today. I said, you know, the first decision you made is bad. The second aspect of this decision is bad. The third element of this is just strictly your own self-interest. Let me ask you this. How do you think God's going to, do you expect God to bless this decision? And the obvious answer is absolutely not. It's a fool that thinks that He will. Without even giving the detail, we all have been there and done that. But you'll notice here, for these people, they cried out to the Lord. And He saved them. And you notice this, he delivered them, and it says from their destructions. Actually, the word is only used one other time. And it speaks of a pit, like a pit that's used to capture somebody. It's only used in Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 20 to speak of the pits that were used by the Babylonians to capture the Israelites as they were fleeing. So these were trapping pits. Not a good thing. But think about all the holes that we've dug for ourselves. And you're so deep down and you're thinking, oh God, how am I?